Parshas Ki Tzeitzei is full of different subjects. Every two or three psukim is another idea. We're going to start off the second reading with the notion of a criminal who was put to death because of his crimes, and he's actually gibbeted. Pretty horrible stuff. They hang his body up. And then he's buried immediately. So we're going to learn some halacha about this and the practical philosophy, the theology behind this, and we're also going to learn about a fascinating eulogy that was delivered some 500 years ago. Second reading of Parshat Ki Tzeitzei is chapter 22, verse 22. V'chi yiyeh ve'ish chet mishpat moves. The verse literally means if a person will be the kind of criminal, the kind of sinner who possesses or has committed sins for which a person is supposed to be put to death. Vahumas, so he has to be put to death. Visalisa oisialates, and then he's hung on wood. Rashi tells us, Vichiyya, and if it will come to pass that there will be v'ish in a person, literally in a man, chet mishpat bavas, a sin for which a person has to be hung, has to be put to death. So Rashi begins his commentary by telling us that this is a continuation of the verses before. And then Rashi goes on to speak about the notion of hanging him on wood. V'salisa oisial eitz. So Rashi says, it does not mean death by hanging. Doesn't mean that. Rather, after the person is put to death, then he's hung on wood. What are we talking about here? Rabbi Seinu Amru, our rabbis told us, Kol haniskolin, all of those who receive the most severe form of capital punishment, nislin, they're hung, or what's known in English as gibbeted. And how do we know that it's only those who receive the most severe form of capital punishment, which is called skila, or death by stoning? Shanema, because it says, ki killa salikim toli, because the blasphemy of God hangs, v'hamevorech, and the person who publicly blasphemes using Hashem's name, and so on and so forth, with all these details. So his dinoi, the rule is beskila. And since it speaks about that particular crime, so from this we learn that it has to be a crime on that level. Why did they used to gibbet? Gibbet was very, very common practice once upon a time. It was very common. Many pirates were gibbeted. Captain Blackbeard hung in the London Harbor for something like 6 months. You know why they used to gibbet? Because scared the hell out of everybody else. And they caught a pirate who was guilty of murder and rape and all kinds of horrific assault and terrible crimes, and they hung this guy, and people came into the harbor and left the harbor, and they saw his body hanging there and birds eating it. They thought twice before they engaged in criminal life. So the purpose of gibbeting in the ancient world, and there are many examples of gibbeting, there was even gibbeting in this country, believe it or not, and it wasn't that long ago, in the last century. The reason was it seems to be a terribly inhumane way of scaring everybody straight. The thing is this, the Torah's form of gibbeting clearly has nothing to do with that. How can I say that? How can I be so sure? Look in the next verse. The Torah says in verse 23, Loi solin nivlosei al ha'etz. Don't leave the corpse hanging overnight. Ki kover tikberenu bayemahu. You will surely bury him on that day. Why will you bury him on that day? In other words, why must you not allow a night to elapse with the corpse of this terrible criminal gibbeted? Ki killa salikim tali, because when he's gibbeted, it's ultimately the curse of God that hangs. V'lei setame yasad moscha, you shall not defile your land. Asher Hashem aleikecha noisein l'cho nachala, which the Lord God gives you as an inheritance. And leaving his corpse hanging would defile your land. So Rashi says, what does that mean? Killa salikim tali, the curse of God is hanging. What is that supposed to mean? Says Rashi, it means zilzuloi shel melech. The curse here refers not to somebody cursing somebody per se, but rather the scorn and the disgrace of the king. Sha'adam also b'dmus d'yoknoi, because a person is created in the image of God. As we say in the beginning of the book of Genesis, b'tzelem elikim osa sa'adam, a person is made in the image of God. And therefore, Yisrael im bonav, the Jewish people are presented in biblical parlance as the children of God. So therefore, if a person who is called the child of God is now hanging, it's going to turn out to be a disgrace, a scorn, a terrible diminishing of the honor of God. How so? What does this mean? So Rashi explains by means of a parable. Moshel, l'shnei anochem, l'shnei achim, pardon me, to'umim, two identical twins. Shahayudaimim zelazeh, they look very much alike, they're identical. They grew up, and as the famous tale of two cities or tale of two brothers, not everybody ends up the same way. Two identical twins, very different lives. Echad nasa melech, one rose to the highest ranks of society and became a sovereign, a king. Ve'echad nitzvas lelistius, and the other ended up becoming a pirate, a thief, a highway robber. So what happened? Venisla, he ended up gibbeted, like Captain Blackbeard. Kolaraya Isai, everybody who sees the corpse can't make out the difference. See a corpse hanging. So what did they say? Huh, Hamelech Tali, the king is hanging. They gibbeted the king. So therefore, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin on page 46 concludes, the king, when he heard people saying that, he said immediately, take him down. Because they said the king is hanging. Take him down right away, he said. Oymer HaMelech, they say the king is hanging. King says, take him down. Rashi says, kol klolo shavim mikra. Whenever we find the word klolo in the concept of the scripture, so in scriptural parlance, it doesn't mean a curse per se. But klolo means, it's l'shoyin hekel. The word klolo comes from the verbiage of demeaned, like made light of, not taken seriously. Which the word hekel comes to the word kal, which literally means light. Was zilzel, a disgrace. So not to take something or somebody seriously is to disgrace something. Something that's supposed to be taken seriously. Ukumai, for example, we find with regard to a very bad man who rebelled against David HaMelech. His name was Shimi. Shimi had his reasons to be angry at the king. The king did what the king had to do, as kings do, and Shimi was angry. And Shimi decided to curse David HaMelech, but he came and attacked him at a very low time in his life, when David HaMelech was running from his own son, Avshalom. David HaMelech was leaving Yerushalayim in disgrace, and there was Shimi hurling insults at David. So David HaMelech says, "Vahu kilalani klolun imnetzes." David HaMelech at the time did not act, he did not do anything, but he did instruct that in the end, Shimi should be treated as Shimi deserved to be treated. And David HaMelech says, he cursed me with this pernicious curse. But over there, the curse is not that he cursed him. David HaMelech wasn't worried about the curse. He didn't say anything bad happened to me because he cursed me. He disgraced me. Ultimately, he attacked the monarchy. It wasn't about David HaMelech as an individual. It was the way he hurled insults at the king. He was diminishing the king's honor. It was the office of monarchy that had been disgraced and diminished. And David HaMelech therefore said that action had to be taken. So, on a literal level, the business here of Killa Salikim is that it's a disgrace for God for a human being to be hanging. So clearly, the Torah does not endorse the practice of gibbeting, even if it was effective. Maybe it was effective. So the Western world decided not to embrace it because the Western world doesn't anything is uncomfortable with. If very bad criminals did not get nice, humane deaths like electric chair, which is just as horrible, really, as being death by guillotine or stoning. It makes no difference. But people feel more comfortable about it. It's not better for the person who gets his brain fried, but with who knows how many volts of electricity that go into his brain. But you think that's more comfortable, that's nicer than getting stoned? It's a sweeter way to die? It's nicer for people. But the Western civilization obsesses itself, what's good for us, not what's good for the criminal. If it's bloodless, if he doesn't have blood-curdling cries, so we're comfortable with it. We're okay with it. Torah does not endorse that. If it will help a person, meaning if it will help society that a criminal who deserves to be killed is killed in a gruesome way, if that will help make sure that innocent people's lives are protected, then that should happen. Then it should be a death in a gruesome way, because that will help innocent lives be protected, and death is death. It's not less of suffering when it's immaculate, when it's clean, when it doesn't make us uncomfortable. It's not any easier or nicer for the person who gets killed. It's just nicer for everybody else, which means that it's less effective. So the Torah doesn't endorse that. And the Western world stopped gibbeting because it made them uncomfortable, even though maybe it was effective. But Torah rejects the concept of gibbeting because of the disgrace to God. A human being is still a human being. And a human being is created in God's image. And a human being created in God's image has to be treated as a human being created in God's image. And if we take God's image and demean it, this is inappropriate. So then ask the questions. What did you give it him for to begin with? What was the point? If it's a human being, and a human being deserves human dignity, and human dignity means burial, even the most heinous criminal deserves to be buried, so then what did you give it him for? So the Rebbe once explained this like this. He said that the concept of death, or somebody being put to death, is not the Torah's anger or vengeance, chas v'shalom. The Torah is all mercy. The Torah is all good. So how do you say that's good? The answer is that this person who did this terrible crime, his soul will be cut off. He will have no afterlife. None of the mitzvahs that this individual did will have any value because of the severity of the crime. But there's one thing that could be a kapara, one thing that could serve as an atonement. It will cleanse them of the sins they did, and it will allow them to be redeemed. So the Torah says that the biggest favor we can do to the person who did such a horrible thing is that his life should be taken in a gruesome way, which makes sure other people won't replicate this behavior, and that way he has atonement. The concept of gibbeting, thus, is the same concept of atonement. He is a horrible individual who's done terrible, terrible crimes, and as such, he deserves to die. But it doesn't have dignity. How's he going to be redeemed? So the worst of criminals not only has to be put to death, but also gets gibbeted. The moment he gets gibbeted, he's atoned for. The moment he's atoned for, take him down right away. So it's like a spiritual concept. This is gibbeting, as difficult as it may be for us to wrap our heads around. The Torah wants the good of each individual, even the criminal. So he's gibbeted to get atonement, and the moment he's gibbeted, he's already a mensch again. He's a mensch again. Take him right down and bury him. That's how we understand. It's called this, what I call gibbeted till good.
So if he's hanging, prevents somebody else from doing that.
But we don't do that. We don't allow him to be left hanging, even if that would prevent. Because that's already causing a violation of human dignity. We're not allowed to violate human dignity. The moment he's human again, then already he has dignity. But we cannot rob him of his dignity. And he has to be buried right away. Now the Or HaChaim says that here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know about something much more profound. The way this is worded indicates that sometimes death is the result of or hung on the tree. What the Or HaChaim means, he's alluding to something very fascinating. What exactly he means, I'll explain to you soon. But he alludes to what we're going to talk about. Ramban says simply, if a person has a chet gadol, a great sin, for which is roi lahamisay, for which it's appropriate, Torah says it's appropriate, and it's right that this person should die, it could be a sin that's so extreme that he has to even be hung because of the depravity, because of the profundity, because of the depth of the sin. The sin is so egregious, what he did is so bad that the gibbeting is necessary. The Ksava Kabbalah says, from this we can see, because it says v'humas, that it's actually, could be a mitzvah, I say, it's one of the positive mitzvahs to carry out this capital punishment, and it is one of the positive mitzvahs. The four different methods of executing criminals are actually considered to be part of the 613 mitzvahs, part of the 248 positive mitzvahs. Now, you should know, as a matter of fact, that the beam of wood that the person was hung on has to be buried immediately afterwards. So nobody should be able to say, that's the beam that such and such was hung from. Because that itself would be a violation of human dignity. So we have to do what we have to do, but there's no remnants left of it. Because people afterwards shouldn't talk about it. It was what it was, and we have to move on. So clearly the Torah does not want to use this as a preventive measure. The gruesome death is a preventive measure. The death which is not clean, not immaculate, it's a bloody death, that's preventive. But the notion of the gibbeting is clearly not preventive. Rather, that's purely from the perspective of atonement and cleansing. As the Ibn Ezra wants to maintain, that the concept of lowering the body is not just, it says, for the dignity of the dead, it's for the dignity of the land. The land of Israel, all these things can only take place in the land of Israel. And he says, in the land of Israel, there cannot be such a defiling of dignity. The land of Israel is, it's not fair to the land of Israel such a thing should happen. And that's why the Torah emphasizes the idea of leitetame asad mascha, don't defile your land. And because the land can't be defiled, that's why the person has to be taken down immediately. Okay, so now let's move from the concept of gibbeted till good. Let's talk about this whole thing and elevate it to a beautiful, mystical idea, which was the focus of the first public teaching of the Arizal. The first public teaching of the Arizal was a eulogy delivered for his predecessor, Rabbeinu Moshe Cordoviro, the leader of this Mikubalim in Tzfat. But just before the Arizal rises to prominence. So the Chida, in his Sefer Yaris Dvash, and also in Nachal Kedumim, a number of places, the Chida documents the story. And the Chida says the following. He says, when the Ramak was about to pass, his disciples said, who will lead us in your absence? And he said to them, the one who sees the fire. That's all he said. So the Ramak, as he was called, the Moshe Cordoviro passes on, and his remains are prepared for burial, and there's a big funeral. All of Tzfat comes to the funeral, and nobody sees a fire. And they prepare a grave for him. And all of a sudden, a funny-looking guy is there. He says, what are you doing? Why are you burying him there? The fire is over there. And they turn around and say, you see a fire? I said, of course, it's right there. So first of all, they dug a new grave. And then they said, if you see the fire, you are the one. You give the eulogy. And so the Arizal, who up until that point had been unknown, began to speak. And he quoted the portion of this week's Torah portion, Parshas Ki Tse. He said like this, as the Chida documents it. V'chiyyeh be'ish chet mishpat mavas. He said this refers to the following. A person who died without having any kind of guilt. There's no reason, there's no justification to gesund, no justification for his passing. In other words, that this is the word chet, which means sin, also shares a common root with the concept of chesaron. We're in the, by the way, the Biurim book now, on page Ches. Simen Vav Amar. So chet comes from Lashon chesaron. Chesaron means there's a lack, there's a deficiency. Something's missing. In other words, he says, what's missing? What's missing here is the mishpat mavis, the ruling, the verdict of death is missing here. So in other words, chayiyah be'ish, you have over here chet, not a sin, but a lack of mishpat mavis, a lack of a verdict, meaning no reason for a verdict. Here's a person, and he has chet, missing, chesaron, mishpat mavis. There's no reason this person should die. He didn't do any sins. There's no toxicity within him whatsoever, nothing inappropriate. So if there's no justification, which justification and justice are not two separate words, so mishpat mavis is not read here as a ruling or verdict, but a justification for death. There's a chet, there's a not a sin, but a lack, a deficiency of mishpat, of justification for mavis, for death. So you have a person for whom there's no justification for death. So then why is he dying? Said the Arizal, v'salisa oisei aleitz. Then you have to hang it, meaning you have to proverbially attribute it to the wood or to the tree. And he said that this comes from the first sin. I'm reticent to use the word original sin because it has all kinds of connotations. But the original sin, the first sin of humanity, was the sin of Adam and Chava, who did what? They ate the fruit from the tree. They ate from the Eitz Hadas. So that's called the Eitz. So why did the person die? He's chet, He's missing mishpat justification for mavus. So why did he die? V'salisa yisai, you'll hang it or attribute it, blame it, al eitz. It was because we are all the descendants of Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve sinned with a tree, and because they sinned with a tree, death was introduced to the world, and these people, or this person, has no justification for death because he never tasted any sin, never did anything wrong, so then why is he dying? The answer is, it's the tree's fault. Not literally, but it's the narrative of the tree. It's the story of the eights. As we call it, Chet Eitz Hadas, it's called the sin of the tree of knowledge. That's what it means. It's the sin of the tree. So it sounds very profound, right? It sounds like a wow, very deep insight. But B'Hashkafa Rishayna, the Rebbe says the truth is, on the surface, it seems that this interpretation of the Arizal, which is very creatively applied to Parshas Ki Tse, it's not a new idea. It seems to line up perfectly with a Gemara that's found at least in two places. It's a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos on page 55. It's a Gemara in Perek HaShutvan, in Maseches Bava Basra, at the end of the chapter of Perek HaShutvan on page 17. The Gemara found at least in two places. And the Gemara over there says, Arba Mesa Be'ita Shal Nachash. Four died by the bite of the snake. Who's the snake? If the tree is the original tree that they ate from the fruit, who's the snake? The snake, the serpent, is the one who coaxed Adam and Chava into sinning. Right? So it's called proverbially the bite of the snake. Who are these four people? The Gemara says it's Binyamin, the son of Yaakov, right? The youngest tribe. Never did anything wrong, a perfect individual. The Gemara says Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yishai, the father of David HaMelech, and Kaleb, the son of David HaMelech. That these four people never tasted any sin. So why did they die? Sin brings death. Because sin is disconnection from Hashem. And the more we sin, the more death we bring upon ourselves. Because va'atam advekim ba'deshem elekechem, you cleave to the Lord your God, chayim kolchem, God is the source of life. So when we cleave unto God, this gives us life. If you separate yourself from God, it's the opposite of life. How does one separate themselves from God? Sin. But these are four people who didn't taste any kind of sin. So why should they die? So they die by the bite of the snake. Because that's the way it has to be. Because that's the way the world is after the sin of the snake, the proverbial snake. So it sounds like, on the surface, it sounds like all the Arizal is doing is co-opting the idea which is found in Maseches Shabbos and Bava Basra, and he's creatively kind of couching it in the verses by saying that chet means chesaron, and mishpat means not justice, but justification of mavus. And that's maybe how it was understood up until the Rebbe spoke about it. The Rebbe suggested that that's not correct. That really the Arizal was saying something different. He said something was more profound. It was a new teaching, not really a restatement of an old teaching, a new packaging, but it's actually a different and a new teaching. And the Rebbe says that there's a hevdel, there's a distinction that could be drawn between these two phrases or aphorisms or sayings or teachings. Chazal, our sages, mitzayinim b'divreim, they note in their words, shesibas hamavas, that the source or cause of death was itay shel nachash, the bite of the snake. Atzase hara shel hanachash, which is the proverbial bite of the snake, means the bad idea. He didn't bite anybody, actually, but it's the sting of the snake. The sting was his bad advice, was his coaxing, was his seducing Chava to do the sin. That was the sin. That was what went wrong. It was that seductive talk that brought her and then him to sin. The Ilu HaArizal, but the Arizal doesn't mention the snake. He doesn't mention the serpent at all. Who does he talk about? The tree. But the tree didn't do anything wrong. The serpent did do something wrong. The serpent was a seductive monster. He used his powers of seduction. He was a salesperson or a sales creature par excellence. And he used his verbiage and his power of articulation to coax and convince somebody else to sin. The tree didn't do anything. The tree just was. The tree was a victim, if you will. Shalehoya Rakishalatsme, the tree has no evil. The tree has nothing to answer for. Kiyuma Yotzer Efsharis, it was its existence that created the possibility of a chet, of a sin. Had there been no tree, there could be no sin. But you can't blame the tree. The tree was just there. The serpent caused the snake, the sin. The serpent coaxed and seduced Sar Chava. He did it. He made a choice. Tree didn't make a choice. Tree happened to be there. Very big difference. So therefore, the Rebbe says that there's actually different levels of righteousness that are being talked about in the narrative of the Talmud and in the words, in the eulogy of the Arizal. Meso b'itav shol nachash, dying by the sting of the serpent, of the snake, means that we talk about tzaddikim gemurim, people who are entirely righteous. Shekeshala atzmam ha'yunikim v'zakim michet. These are people who are clean, pure of any kind of sin. Ach shemetz mehara, but there was a whiff, a residue, if you will, of the zuhama, of the toxicity, of the spiritual toxic energy of sin, shehevi hanachash la'olam, that the serpent brought into this world, dovak gambahem, it cleaved, it stuck to them also. Now the truth is, this in and of itself is not the chiddush of the Rebbe. This actually says in the commentary known as Ahavas Eisan, in his commentary to Ein Yaakov. So the Ahavas Eisan actually says this. The Zuhamazu, and it was this toxicity that was in the air. They didn't actually do anything wrong, but sin cleaved, stuck to them. They had a whiff of sin. They had a residue of sin. It's like a person who'll be in an area where there's smoke and he smells like smoke. So that's not a firefighter. So why do you smell like smoke? I was there. It's something stuck to you. You didn't sin, but there was sin all around you. Something stuck. You didn't come out squeaky clean, even if it didn't do anything wrong. That's what the Ahavas Eisan says. Misasam shel tzaddikim elu mahava. So the death of these tzaddikim thusly creates or casts the case of bitu l'reya shabaylam. It expresses the fact that there's toxicity, negativity in the world. It's like secondhand smoke. The smoker got cancer because he smoked. The secondhand smoker didn't do anything wrong. He never touched a cigarette. Yeah, the people next to him are smoking. So you cannot say
that end up with lung cancer.
Huh?
The waitress ends up with cancer.
Yeah. Achman al-San.
There was a writing up about that.
It's tragic. Didn't do anything wrong. He said, why'd you smoke for? I didn't smoke.
She didn't
do anything wrong. But she's in the area of smoke. So here these people lived in an area, there was sin around them. They didn't do anything wrong, but they breathed. And the environment was toxic. Now Rizal comes along and he says, we speak here about this Elisa Oise al Eitz. We don't talk about the serpent. We don't talk about the sting of the serpent. We talk about the tree itself. And of course, the difference between the tree and the serpent is that the tree did nothing. The serpent did something. The tree just was there, didn't do anything. This is talking about, the Rebbe suggested, tzaddikim she'en kol hatzdaka l'misasim. In the first one, you can't blame the tzaddik. You can't say that they're guilty, but at the same time, they're good, not guilty. But there's negativity that attaches itself to them. The Arizal's teaching was that there could be a tzaddik, that there's a chet mishpat moves, that there is a lack of justification for death. You can't even explain the death. Not only you can't blame them for the death, you can't explain it. Because even the negativity that existed out there in no way could adhere or attach itself to these people. So that's a person who dies not be'itav shel nachash, not with the toxicity of the serpent's negativity, but just with like the tree, just happened to be there. The tzaddik is stuck in this world. Shekein gam shemetz mizumas hanachash le'davuk b'hem. There wasn't even a residue. There was no secondhand smoke. Bishal goydel kedushasam. How not? You're in a place with secondhand smoke. Because of their incredible holiness, they created a silo around them, a protective silo. Secondhand smoke all over, they didn't breathe it. You're talking about misashem shel tzaddikim elu, these kind of tzaddikim. It's only migzeirase shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This comes from one thing and one thing alone, the decree of God. It comes from the tree itself. Shetia misa ba'ilum, that's a broad death into the world. Bedarga nailazu, on that lofty level, Ein lemisa kol muvan shlila. There's shlili. There's nothing negative here to speak of. Not only no negative behavior. Not only no guilt. No negativity. Ela kol muhusa. The whole essence here is the toyelas ladaga ruchnius nihilus. It's only because ultimately, it's sometimes through a negative experience that we can be raised to a more positive and a higher experience. These tzaddikim were in this world. No sin attaches ourselves, but the very fact that we're in this world necessitates a passing, and from that passing, the tzaddikim are able to go to a higher place. And that is the difference in the Rebbe's view of the teaching of the Arizal, that's not only what the Gemara says, but in fact, far more deep, far more profound, and represents even a higher level of holiness. So now we have all different ways of understanding the business of death and gibbeting and burial, and Hashem should help us that bila hamavas lanetzach, that very, very soon there should be no more death and no more negativity and no more sin and no more yetzahara, because Mashiach will merz Hashem come and wipe all that negativity away lanetzach b'mheira u'b'yameinu amen.